Or, of course, if you go into the background of concept, the Third World War was the Cold War, and there are several people who talk about the war that will follow the Cold War. One of them is certainly James Woolsey, a member of the PNAC group or affiliated with PNAC, member of the Council on Foreign Relations, former director of the Central Intelligence Agency under Bill Clinton. And James Woolsey says, we are today in the Fourth World War. And Jeff had written a book, actually, by this title some time ago. And, we're going to have Barry Shamus with us for the first hour. We'll be interviewing then Jeff Nyquist in the second hour. Those of you who listen to our programs regularly, we'll be having him on a number of times in the near future. But right now, Barry Shamus is with us. He's touring the United States. He's an Israeli citizen. Very, very concerned about what is happening to his country, and he would be from the very conservative wing of the political movement over there. In other words,
I don't think you can say that.
All right, well, let's put it.
I'm all by myself.
All right, Barry is.
I don't fit.
Barry is
the conservative wing thinks I'm either mad or against them.
All right, fine. Well, Barry is the. Doesn't like either political party. Let's put it
there
that
you
way.
Go.
All right. Barry, why don't you introduce yourself to our listeners here? Because most people have never heard you before.
Oh. Go to my website.
New audience. Go ahead.
Go to my website.
All right.
www.barrychamish.com. And I don't have to explain anything. It's all there.
All right, fine. But as long as you're here and you're going to be with us for an hour,
expose the Rabin assassination for what it was. I convinced the majority of my country that Rabin was not murdered by the person sitting in prison. My book reached the top of the best-selling charts in Israel and changed the way the whole country thinks about the assassination. That's how I got very well-known in Israel. Then I started chasing down Rabin's real murderers, and I discovered a world, a secret world of wickedness and rot that I never knew existed, and that led to other books. The rot and wickedness most people call the movement to bring a new world order or a global government or whatever you want to call it. I discovered new corners of that movement, and those corners are the Sabbatean movements.
All right. Well, let's get in, first of
was
all.
Was that good?
That's fine, but let's start out with the story of the murder of Rabin. And you're talking to an American audience of good and wonderful people up in the Seattle area, up in Spokane area of Washington. There are four stations listening to us up there, and then stations in Chicago and Albany, New York, and Flint, Michigan, Utica, New York, Fort Bend, Indiana. And of course, we've got our this shortwave audience and their internet audience. So why don't you tell them about the murder of Rabin? Because most people think that there was some sort of fanatic who snuck up behind him and shot him, and that's why he died. What did you find as you've investigated
this? Fortunately, most people in Israel don't believe that anymore.
All right, but the people in America...
Okay, but we're talking to the virgin grass, I take it. All right, here's what really happened. Yigal Amir shot two blanks into Rabin's back. Rabin was pushed in the car. His bodyguard, Yoram Rubin, shot him twice. The car took 22 minutes to take a one-minute drive because there was an eyewitness in the car by accident. Rabin arrived at the hospital. I have all the hospital reports, by the way, every single one of them. I have all the police reports. I have all the lab reports. Rabin was revived in the ER, and he had to be shot again, believe it or not, this time through the front. So our government told us Rabin was shot twice in the back from half a yard's distance. I have all the medical reports. Rabin was shot three times. He was shot twice from point-blank range, and he was shot once from the front. And not only can I prove it, I have proven it to the satisfaction of millions of Israelis. Okay, that's the Rabin murder. The shooter was Rabin's bodyguard, Yoram Rubin, who took orders from the head of what is our FBI, essentially, the Shabak, Carmi Gilon, who organized this murder with Shimon Peres. Shimon Peres murdered Yitzhak Rabin. And it goes even farther than that. He was working hand-in-hand with the French. That's the murder. I just summed up the murder. I have a book called Who Murdered Yitzhak Rabin. Go on my website, find my email address, order it, and you'll see it's all true. I have a video that shows the murder as it happened as well. If you don't believe me, I'll prove it to you.
All right. I think what's so interesting is that Rabin's spinal cord was transected by one of the bullets, and yet you see him, of course, after...
walking.
He walks after he's been shot from behind.
Yeah.
He walks on, and he sort of looks around to see what this is about, and then he walks on, gets into the car, and then, of course, he gets the shot from the front, because the man that supposedly shot him was behind, and one of these shots transects his
spinal
cord.
They really screwed up that murder, let me tell you.
Well, these people really aren't that smart. We try to usually get a lot more...
No, they're smart enough to fool the Jews, and that's what worries me. I'm going to switch a little bit from Rabin. You could come back if you'd like, but something awful, simply awful is going on in Israel right now.
All right, let's go ahead and cover what's going on over
they're
there.
They're killing our soldiers in Gaza.
This idea of pulling...
I don't
on
mean
the,
Arabs.
Right. Well, now, who's...
I mean the same people who murdered Rabin are killing our people in Gaza.
Now, are they killing the soldiers there? We're trying to clear the area down in the south.
They're trying to force a withdrawal. Now, here's what happened. There was a big rally in Tel Aviv, about 100,000 people, on the night before a Likud referendum, Likud is Sharon's party. And the referendum was whether to go ahead with a withdrawal from Gaza. And just before this rally, a mother and her four children, a pregnant woman, from 2 to 11, the children are slaughtered. The murderer was never caught, but they were slaughtered. Now, the order came from our secret services, the people who are ruining our country, and the people who are working with the fiends from abroad who are determined to remove Israel from the map. Now, I'll tell you how I know a few things.
All right, and of course, whenever we see one of these atrocities, the question is, well, are we being told the truth? In other words, was this a Palestinian terrorist, or could it be that they would actually kill Israeli people?
Why not?
For
the
reaction, for the emotional reaction on the Israeli people?
They killed the Jews of Europe, these same people. Okay, now we will... That's Sabbatane for later, if you want.
Okay, fine.
Now we will go to the soldier who visited me last December. Only once. That's the way it happens with me a lot, let me tell you. That people find the courage only once, but they come. He was 27 years in the service. He phoned me up the night before, said, I want to buy your book, Save Israel. It's out in Hebrew as well. And he said, no, I got to talk to you. I can't stand this anymore. So he came over, and we had a long talk. And boy, did he establish his credentials in a hurry. He established them extremely well. And he said, I want to tell you what happened on October 27th. October 27th, three Israeli soldiers were killed in Netzarim. It's an army base in the Gaza Strip. At 3 in the afternoon, the base commander stripped three soldiers, two women and a man, a 19-year-old boy, of their weapons. Believe it or not, the army said that they ran out of money and didn't have enough weapons to go around. If you can believe the baloney they tried to sell for this. But at 11 in the evening, approximately, two Arabs entered the base and killed these unarmed soldiers. And the next day, the government announced this plan to remove the settlers of Netzarim into the Negev. And then the whole withdrawal from Gaza plan of Sharon started. First with Ehud Olmert. All right. The soldiers have told me outright. He said there's a base with 150 soldiers. There is no possible way the terrorists would have known where the only unarmed soldiers were sleeping. He says that could only have come from our own intelligence. There's no other way. This week... Now, there was a referendum, and on that night, they tried to change the referendum by slaughtering the most grisly murder they can think of. A helpless woman with four daughters, 2 to 11, she is pregnant. The most grisly murder they could think of, wiping out a whole family. And the referendum still failed. And when that happened,
right.
I was in Toronto. And everyone I was around were so thrilled and so happy. Democracy had triumphed. Sharon had been defeated. Gaza safe. I told them, I said, you don't know what's going to happen now. I said, you really think we have a democracy in Israel? You don't know what they're going to do now. I said, you're going to see so many dead young people next week, it'll make your head spin. Then I took off from Toronto and went to Miami, and I was with Peter Goldman. He's a filmmaker. We're making a Rabin documentary. And he was so thrilled that the referendum failed. And I said, Peter, I predict by the end of this week at least 15 dead young Israelis. And 13 was the final tally. One day it was seven, next day it was six, I believe. Soldiers in you know, old APCs, World War II vintage, rollover mines, I assure you our intelligence services gave those Arabs the exact details they needed to put down the mine, where went the works.
All right,
I assure you that's what happened.
Well, for our listeners, what basically happened was after they put this vote up to the Israelis, do you want to back Sharon? I guess it was the Likud party. Do you want to back Sharon's effort to pull out of Gaza? And, of course, the average Jew feels that this is their land. They should not be pulling out of Gaza. So they voted against the prime
overwhelmingly.
Minister. Overwhelmingly against him. So what Barry is saying is that they are creating a situation. They're going to...
2 days ago, 100,000 people rallied in Tel Aviv to get out of Gaza. Now the public opinion is 75% less withdrawal from Gaza. Damn the democracy. These people will murder our youngest and finest soldiers to get their way. Sharon has cut a deal. And by the way, it's all-encompassing. It's been reported by Yediot Ahronot. He cut a deal. He was forced. It doesn't matter whether he was forced or not. He cut a deal. With Joschka Fischer, he is the foreign minister of Germany, and, of course, with your Council on Foreign Relations in New York, the whole gang. That Gaza, the Jews get out of Gaza, that's it. And the rest of the deal is just nightmarish. Now, I've been saying, I don't know how many years I've been saying the same thing. If somebody was really interested in peace, forget the 7,000 acres that these 8,000 Jews live on. It's nothing. It's a park in an average American city. If you really were serious, you would go into the Sinai, where there is 36,000 square miles of empty land, and I do mean empty. There's about 50,000 Bedouins living in that whole area. When we had it, we made it very fertile and worthwhile. If you wanted to, you'd extend the Gaza Strip. You'd forget these Jewish settlers in Gaza. They're meaningless. You'd go and create from Gaza a legitimate state using the Sinai Peninsula. But that, of course, would require Egypt to actually want to live next door to a Palestinian state, which they do not. And anyways, the Sinai was never Egyptian, historically. It was Turkish till 1906, and the Turks gave it to the British. There was chicanery there, too, but nonetheless, the British annexed it to Egypt. It has nothing to do with Egypt. The residents there are Bedouin, not Egyptian. If anyone wanted to, they could make the Gaza a legitimate state, and that's what the plan is, except there's one little fly in the ointment. Israel's got to give back the Negev, a big chunk of the Negev, to the Egyptians. Believe it or not, that's the deal that Sharon cut. Now, in order for this deal to go through, you've got to get those pesky religious Jews out of Gaza, and they are just murdering secular Israelis to turn the tide in the country to outrage. They're murdering them, and they will continue to murder them until the bulldozers come and knock down the houses of these fine Jews living in Gaza.
Well, of course, don't you think the Palestinians are being used as just pawns in this exactly?
Of course.
The Jewish settlers are being used as pawns?
Of course. We're talking about conflict. And we're talking about endless conflict.
And this is the way they manipulate things, and it's a terrible thing to contemplate, and yet this is exactly what they're up to, and they don't care how many Jews they kill. Yeah. And I'm talking about the people in control of Israel today, killing Jews to turn public opinion against this recent referendum so they can justify pulling out.
The saboteurs. But again, I did a little TV interview tonight, and I just pointed out, do you really believe that the American military didn't send the most perverse soldiers into those prisons? They didn't check first. They knew who they were sending. It came right from they made a marvelous choice of the greatest sadists and perverts they could put together and put them in that prison to totally make the Arabs more nuts.
Well, of course, this is we haven't talked about this before, but
I've
been trying to tell people that.
But it's all the same. Building the war in the Middle East, and the Jews are going to get slaughtered again.
And the whole idea of what Barry is saying, and I agree with it totally, is this whole tragedy of seeing all of these pictures of the humiliation of the naked Arab soldiers to inflame Arabs throughout the world against the United States in preparation for the coming war. Would that be that war?
They are building the Third World War just fine. The same way they made the Germans nuts, they are making the Arabs nuts, and they don't want peace. Israel is not supposed to get peace. Israel is supposed to get indefensible borders. We're supposed to disappear.
Well, I'll tell you what, when I first went to Israel, why your border was the river, certainly, and the river there was a very, very defensible position. It wasn't an ideal.
Well, the hills above it certainly are pretty good. You can put lots of artillery, aim it straight into downtown Amman, and it's just fine. The same with the Golan Heights. You can put lots of artillery and make Damascus rubble the next day without sending a plane against it. These are defensible positions. You remove that, and we've got the plains. That's all. You divide Jerusalem in half, we got Beirut. Yeah, they know what they're doing. They're aiming for slaughter of Jews.
And, of course, what they've done is everybody's complaining about the wall. Oh, this is not a defensible position, but
is not to keep Arabs out. It's to keep us in.
Right.
We're talking about the Warsaw Ghetto again. They're doing the same stuff they did in Europe. They're walling us in.
And
they're making the walls smaller and smaller, tighter and tighter. Get the Jews out of Gaza. That means Gaza will no longer be a militarily feasible. With the Jews in Gaza, we can cut the Gaza Strip in three in a matter of seconds. We can go after the tunnels. You take away those settlements, it's going to be many, many casualties to do very, very basic and essential military operations. And then you have to ask the question, how come we're not at war with Egypt? Egypt is letting its land be used to smuggle in, and we're not just talking small arms. We're talking even APCs. We're talking APCs coming in parts, tires, engines, the whole thing.
Well, I think that APC is armed personnel.
An armored personnel carrier.
Right.
In other words, Arabs and armored personnel carriers could run over those Gaza settlements in about 8 minutes.
And what we've done, if you believe that the Jews control the American government, they have forced, of course, the Israelis to give up over 95% of the land they had 10, 15 years ago.
I've heard this. We're the tail wagging the dog.
Hey, hang on, Barry. We're going to have to go to a break.
Okay, you got it.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Barry Sammis, who is a Jewish patriot who's over here trying to tell the American people and the Jewish audiences he's speaking to what's really going on over there and the planned betrayal of Israel. And this is really what it's all about. And as we were saying before we went to the break, I mean, you hear this over and over again. America's foreign policy it has to do with Israel and the Zionist control. And the reason we're in the Middle East is so that we can protect Israel. Well, if we're trying to protect Israel, why have we forced them to give up, about 95% of the land?
If you count the Sinai?
Right.
If you count the 36,000 square miles of the Sinai? Are you kidding? We're now left with 9,000.
Right.
9,800, something like that. We're going to be down to about 7,800, and then we'll be down to nothing.
And these are acres?
No, square miles.
Square miles. Well, it still is. It's just a tiny, tiny place.
It's places, Connecticut.
You know, places that wall is about 8 miles from the Mediterranean. It's totally indefensible.
Let us put it this way. Now, this is going to be tough. This is my latest research, and honest, I gave it to big audiences, the Sabbateans, and these audiences, Jews and Christians, knew it was right.
All right, well, I want to hold the Sabbateans until we can get all of our stations back, because right now we have the people in the east and the people up in the state of Washington aren't going to hear us for about 2.5 minutes. So I do want them to hear the story of the Sabbateans, because I think it is so pivotal to an understanding of what's going on today. There really is an organization, there is organized evil, and of course it permeates every aspect of religion today. But coming from you, I think this will have a great deal more authority. Why don't you just mention briefly to our listening audience now, which is shortwave internet and here in the central coast of California, really a little bit about Rabbi Antleman, because many years ago, I can remember probably 25 years ago, he wrote a book. What was it about the opiate?
To eliminate the opiate.
To eliminate
in other
the
words,
opiate.
To destroy the Jewish religion and essentially all religion. But the opiate is religion, of course.
All right, fine. And so, basically, what was his theme? Because he was a very learned, scholarly individual who was trying to convince people. What was it, 20 years ago he wrote that
1974.
Book? Oh, boy.
30 years ago.
Right.
And somehow or another, and by the way, in his wake, at the TV interview I did today, there's another book that says the same thing. It's called The Secret Tribe. It's by Yochanan Prince, and I've got to get this book, makes the exact same claims, precisely, that there was a false messiah. His name was Shabtai Tzvi. He declared his messianic regime, the era of his messianism, on June 18th of 1666. And believe it or not, most of the Jewish world fell in with it.
Now, this is 1666. This
yep,
is what,
it sure
what,
is.
Almost 400 years ago.
Yes, it sure is.
Okay.
And it didn't go away. Now, what happened is that his religion was anti-Judaism. Do not kill became kill, and do not adulter became adulter. In fact, incest, homosexuality, the whole, you name it, if it was perverted, it was a new religion. This was anti-Torah, anti-Talmud. Now, that's what's ruling America today. That aspect of it has just been taken over the world. That aspect of it has not died.
All right, fine. Well, you're going to have to hold that thought here, and we'll be bringing all of our stations back on here in just about 2 seconds, and then we'll want to get into this. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Barry Shamison. He comes from Israel. He's talking about a group called the Sabbateans. This was a sect of Judaism that was organized about 350 years ago. Would you like to talk a little bit about this? Because it is a sect of Judaism that is anti-Jewish. Pick
it
up
is
the story.
The antithesis of Judaism. Shabtai Tzvi was a false messiah who managed somehow to capture the imagination of the Jewish world. He declared he was Messiah on June 18, 1666, and the Jewish world, the Middle East, Europe, they sold their goods, they waited on hilltops to be transported to the New Jerusalem. It was a manic plague which hit Judaism. And then the Turks, he was Turkish, Shabtai Tzvi, the Turkish Sultan had enough of this, and had him arrested. And in September of that year, he gave him a choice. He either converts to Islam, or he's tortured to death. And he wisely chose conversion. And that was the end of the delusion for 99% of Jews, let's say. However, there was a sect in Turkey called the Donme, which decided that his conversion was a divine act. And that what he meant to say was that the Sabbateans have to convert seek into Islam and later Catholicism. I'll get to that. And keep their practices secret. This is why the CFR, for instance, has just a slew of politicians who forgot their fathers were Jewish or their mothers were Jewish. Kerry is just the latest in a long line. Wesley Clark, Madeleine Albright, they claim to be of other religions. They are practicing Sabbateans to this day. Now, in 1785, one Jacob Frank, who was the head of the Sabbateans in Poland, cut a deal with Adam Weishaupt in the city of Frankfurt and Mayor Ansel Rothschild. They were all living in Frankfurt at the time, and they all cut a deal that they would attempt a world takeover of this combination of very, very sick ideologies, because alone they weren't succeeding. Rothschild was trapped inside the Frankfurt ghetto. He just could not make the money he wanted to make. It was very tough for a Jew to be in Frankfurt in 1785, but he was moderately successful. He was doing all right. The Jesuits, Adam Weishaupt, they had another agenda. They hated the Protestant Reformation, hated Germany, the land of Luther, and what they were up to was conspiring every which way to get the world back to the days where Rome was the capital, and there was one pope over world religion. And the Rothschilds had already cut a deal with Weishaupt, but they didn't have the resources of the Sabbateans. They had agents all through the Middle East and Europe, supposedly practicing Islam, Catholicism. They provided the ability to spread the influence. And a pact was made. The Sabbateans, their theology was very, very clear-cut. Jews who rejected Shabtai Tzvi as Messiah either accepted him or died. That simple. There was no room for both. And from that time on, the fate of Jewry has been just a disaster. The biggest decision they made was in the 1860s. Now, see, one thing should be known. The Illuminati was banned throughout Europe. It was exposed in the 1780s, 90s.
By 1785, it was actually exposed. And then it was supposed to be outlawed, but it infiltrated the upper echelons of Masonry. And
No, that was a policy decision. After the Illuminati were exposed and banned, Weishaupt came up with a very clever plan. He'll spread the ideology by infiltrating British Freemasonry.
Right.
And hence, British Freemasonry, which was probably all right, I mean, it was probably okay, suddenly became an Illuminati center. And that's the triangle. Sabbatean, Jesuit Illuminati, funded by Rothschild. That was the horrible, horrible combination which has sent which controls America. But more to the point, in the 1860s, a decision was made, again, through British Freemasonry, to win over world Judaism to this false messiah by creating a state in the ancient land of Israel, a Sabbatean state. And the early labor Zionists, all were from Germany, all of them, the works, or Vienna, German-speaking countries. The Sabbateans used their brightest talents, and they had already done this, by the way, with Marx and Engels and communism. They sent apostate Jews to England, where they spread the new vision of communism.
Okay.
Now it was Zionism.
Hold that thought right there, Barry. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our special guest this evening is Barry Shamish, who is a Jewish patriot. He is traveling around the United States and around Israel, trying to educate people as to what's going on. Certainly, he's had a profound impact upon his own homeland, Israel, explaining to them that Rabin, the prime minister of Israel, was assassinated. He wasn't killed by a lone crazed gunman at all. It was a government-inspired a hit, and just as the murder of John Kennedy was certainly carried out with the full support of the CIA and the FBI here in the United States, so the murder of Rabin was similarly carried out, because there is organized evil in the world, and until people begin to recognize this, you can't understand anything that's going on. And of course, Barry has picked up on ideas of Rabbi Edelman that were written 30 years ago, and I still have that to eliminate the opiate copy of Rabbi Antelsman's book, who had written about this 30 years ago. And Barry then is telling us how this movement had permeated the Jewish religion, and then eventually most of it was forgotten. Most Jews had nothing to do with this, and then pressure was increasingly began to put on them to come into this. And you were talking about something that happened in the 1800s?
The 1860s, Zionism was created.
Right.
Through British Freemasonry, to create a Sabbatean state. In other words, an anti-religious state. Now, to get the Jews there, they had to make life in Europe just intolerable. And then the pogroms started, and it got worse. But still, the Jews didn't go to Palestine. They went to America. So Colonel House pressed Wilson, President Wilson, to close immigration. Every means to get the Jews to Palestine in this Sabbatean state were used, but it took a Holocaust to create Israel.
Well, of course, we have the Balfour Declaration after the
The Freemasonry and Chaim Weizmann, evil, evil, wicked, wicked man. Now, in 1933, these Sabbateans cut a deal with the Nazis. It's called the Transfer Agreement. Now, understand, in 1932... more than 250 Jewish organizations represented German Jewry. In 1934, only one was allowed, Labor Zionism. The deal, and by the way, Edwin Black has a book called The Transfer Agreement, which is real useful in understanding what this deal was. The deal was the Nazis make life intolerable for the Jews. Labor Zionist indoctrination camps are set up to prepare the Jews to become Sabbateans. The British opened the borders until 1939.
Hold that thought right there. We're going to bring our stations back up. Okay, Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening is Barry Shamish, and he's talking about the Sabbatean movement, which, of course, had infiltrated the Jewish labor movement and had actually worked with Adolf Hitler.
They created the Jewish labor movement.
Beg pardon?
They created labor Zionism.
And,
it was theirs.
And, of course, they had actually come up with something known as the Transfer Agreement. And this was that the Jews would not be allowed to come to the United States or Great Britain.
No, that was separate.
All right, go ahead. You explain it, Barry.
The borders were cut off in the United States. Immigration was cut off.
Right.
The American Jewish establishment was totally Sabbatean. Felix Frankfurter, Stephen Wise, they were all Sabbateans. And Antelman and other writers... go to my website, see the other writers who have traced these guys. The American Jewish establishment, like today, was Sabbatean. Now, the Jews couldn't go to the United States. Wilson had cut off immigration. They had to go to Palestine, but life was made so intolerable to German Jewry, they had to go somewhere. Anyone who got on a boat and didn't go to Palestine, there was a world diplomatic order. Those boats are sent back to Germany and the people to their death. It was Palestine or nothing. By 1939, you had enough German Jews in Palestine, over 60,000, to make a viable Sabbatean state. They were thoroughly indoctrinated, and then the British announced the White Paper, cutting off immigration, no more Jews into Palestine. The war starts, the Holocaust goes on, nobody tries to rescue the Jews. The American Jewish establishment prevents any rescue led by Stephen Wise. The Jewish agency in Jerusalem keeps the news of the Holocaust a complete secret until 1943. But now we go backwards to 1933, when there was a very moral and good Zionism. It was led by Vladimir Jabotinsky. It was then called Revisionist Zionism. It later became Herut. Sharon was, in 1974, sat down with Henry Kissinger after the Yom Kippur War, and he was told that you are going to destroy the Herut movement, the good Zionism, the moral Zionism. And he said, Sharon was always a Sabbatean. He was always left-wing Lepai, always. He had a political party called Shlom Sion. He joined it with Menachem Begin's Herut and another party called Gachal, liberals. They formed the Likud. Sharon's task was to destroy that movement, and he has. And now we find out he's going back to his Sabbatean roots. He is now showing the true Sharon. He is doing what he was supposed to do. He is destroying Israel, and that's what he was supposed to do. What these people, the Sabbateans, have concluded is the last thing they want is an Israel that is moral and based on the Torah. They did not go to all this effort to create a moral, religious-based Israel. They would rather Israel died before they saw that. Now, what this war in Gaza is all about, it's about a war against the Jewish religion, totally demoralize them. Now, if you think, now here's what the trick they're using. It's the old mafia trick. You've got a mafia running Israel. The mafia trick is you shake down someone and tell them it's the last payment. So now they're shaking down the Israeli people and telling them Gaza's the last payment. But the payments never stop. Never. They go on, and they will go on all the way to Jerusalem. And sadly, it's working. The killing of the young soldiers, all the strategy is working. Israelis actually believe that this will be the last payment, and they don't understand. Their country's going to go. It's going to go. And remember what the PLO state, the Palestinian Authority, remember how they started? Gaza first. It's the same system, and the Jews are falling for it.
Sure. And the great tragedy is that we're dealing with people who have no concern over human life, and they'll sacrifice the life of Jews just as well as they will of Palestinians or anybody else. Or
Israel,
Americans,
they
really
have the finances to start over wherever they want. They'll be fine.
Well, I really fear, though, that we're going to see the Third World War coming about.
And the Second Holocaust.
Beg your pardon?
And the Second Holocaust.
Right.
And that's what's being planned. That's what's being planned. Get out of Iraq. Just get out of there.
Well, I wish we could, but unfortunately, anybody who suggests that we should pull out of Iraq immediately is pro-terrorist, is pro-Arab, is anti-American.
Get out of
there.
We
never should have been there in the first place. This is a tragedy.
They're using it the same way they use Czechoslovakia, Sudetenland, Poland. They're using it the same way.
Well,
it's going to spread.
If you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question, a comment, give us a call. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California, that's 464-8295. If you have a question for Barry, Barry's sort of a one-man dedicated neither to the Labor Party nor the Likud Party. He's a Jewish patriot. He's trying to let people understand, both in Israel and here in the United States, that Israel is being betrayed, but America is being betrayed as well, and we've been manipulated into this war in Iraq as a prelude to a series of wars that are going to have a terrible destructive effect on our country. And if you care about America, you have an obligation to find out what's going on. Go to Barry's website, get his information, and go to our website, get our information, understand. Everybody is being manipulated. They really do not care how many American boys die. And if you don't believe that, you need to get the book, The Final Days, written by Woodward and Bernstein. And there on page 194, you'll find the quotation from that great patriot, Henry Kissinger, who says, the soldiers, the military men, are simply stupid, dumb animals to be used for foreign policy negotiations, for foreign policy purposes. Our military are stupid, dumb animals. That's their attitude towards the boys that we send overseas. And as long as we leave them in control and making the decisions, why these tragedies will continue.
Yeah, and here's my website, by the way. You brought it up, www.barrychamish, barrychamish.com, and order my books. And incidentally, by the way, I did two TV shows tonight.
Right.
The producer said, "You changed her life," and she said, "I changed her life." Somewhere along the line, she crossed us, and we both changed her lives.
Well,
she read your book, she read my book.
Well, wonderful. Now, can people get your book from an 800 number, or they have to order
it? Just email me.
Okay, Amelia. Well, let's go to Roger, who's calling in from Allentown. And I'm glad to hear that you had an impact on the producer, that she read my book as well. Because we're a couple of voices crying in the wilderness, but at least we're voices. And as long as God gives me a voice, I'll continue to give you a voice on our network.
Oh, I appreciate it. Now, Roger in Allentown.
Do you know Roger?
That's an awful song, but I'll let that go.
All right, go ahead.
Hey, Barry, I'd like to ask, two questions, please. The first kind of to clarify, because this is a little confusing, I think, to a lot of people listening, and including me as well, but I'm restating what both you guys said, that basically both Israel's top-level establishment, movers and shakers, as well as our own, are perfectly in concert, basically secularized, atheistic for the most part, in concert against both the interests of Israel and the United States and for other secondary and tertiary power-mongering purposes.
Bullseye. You know, yes.
Okay.
I don't know what I can add to that. You summed it up beautifully.
And, of course, I believe, as you know, Roger, that there's a Luciferian component to this whole incredible story. What was your second question?
Yeah, second and last, please. Do you possibly ever get invited to come on? There's a Rabbi Yaakov Spivak who's on BCQ and also on this frequency for the last few months, a couple hours earlier. And it's interesting, you get some of these nominally Jewish, he is a Jewish rabbi teaching Judaism on the shortwave world band radio. And it's always, he's always conveniently ignorant of anything having to do with it. Now, he did have a conspiracy guest on a few months back, and it's, well, that might be possible kind of thing. But how is it that he's basically universally ignorant on any of the things you've been talking about?
Oh, my. You know, tomorrow I go back to Israel. I had a month-long tour. I want to know there's ups and downs. I gave speeches at synagogues in Reno at Temple Emmanuel, in Miami, B'nai Isaac, and blank faces. They've never heard a thing. Look, here are the leaders of the American Jewish establishment. Okay? Edgar Bronfman, CFR. Okay? Mort Zuckerman, CFR. Lauder, CFR. Henlin, CFR. Siegman, CFR. American Jewish Committee, World Jewish Committee. They're all in the hands of the CFR. Now, you're asking why American Jews are ignorant. They are led by these Sabbatean monsters. That's why. Now,
but
I got to tell you something.
But they
I have an easier time with Christians.
Okay.
But they themselves are not necessarily Sabbatean, so there's no real reason.
Let's put it this way. Some are knowingly. Now, I found out something remarkable in Toronto. A marvelous reader of mine, Dr. Reuven Lexier, pulled out articles way back from Mordechai Richler. Samuel Bronfman, in 1939, cut a deal with Canada's Prime Minister, Mackenzie King, to make sure no Jews escaping the Holocaust were allowed in Canada. And his sons, Charles and Edgar Bronfman, are carrying on the tradition. I think they are Sabbatean.
And the thing is, Roger, as incredible as it may seem, most Americans are good Americans. They have no idea what's going on. I didn't have any idea what was going on 42 years ago when I turned on the wrong television set and heard a man saying, not exactly what Barry is saying, but talking about how the media was controlled, how we'd brought Fidel Castro to power in Cuba knowing he was a communist, and that we were a republic and not a democracy. I just couldn't believe that sort of thing. But at least I tried to prove the man wrong. That was a pivotal moment in my life because I found that that man was right. But the average individual out there has no idea what's going on, and this is why I do what I do 5 hours a day, is trying to get people at least to think and to begin to challenge and to find out, is it possible that these things could really be true?
Okay, anything else, Roger?
God bless you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
This guy is good. He summed it up well. Look, the key, once again, okay, I'll give you, I've had a month now in America. There are people who've caught on. There are Christians who are going back to their Hebrew roots, and somehow or another, I met them in Fort Collins, I met them in Denver. In Denver, there were 500 people, if you can believe this. Standing ovation, the works. These are Christians who believe that that their Hebrew roots are extremely important to understanding their religion. They know everything. I didn't have to explain a thing to anybody. There are people, believe it or not, who somehow have come to the truth. I wish the Jews were as smart as Christians sometimes, I tell you.
Yeah, well, I think the reason that you got such a good response there in Denver is because of the American Freedom Network.
Oh, Don Wiedemann has been on top of things for... Yes, you're right.
And Don has done a tremendous job, and with one radio station, he reaches all the major populated areas in Colorado outside of Fort Collins. Other than that, we're into Boulder, we're into, we are in Fort Collins, we're not in Colorado Springs, but we're the whole city of Denver up into Wyoming. But those people who listen day in and day out to the programs he has on his station have gotten educated, and that's why I believe that talk radio is the last means we have of reaching people across America.
Well, I know this. Don filmed me, and I am going to email Don for that film, and I'm going to spread it throughout Israel. Yeah, we'll do our best that way.
Oh, I will probably ask Don for a copy of that tape because I think it'll be so vitally important that people have a chance to understand that there are forces working behind the scenes which most people are totally unaware of.
And now get this, I'm going to tell you something that's going to shock you. I had 150 in Toronto. I spoke at the Toronto Zionist Center. They all got it. They knew as I saw, you could hear a pin drop. No one left. They saw it was the explanation they've been looking for. Nothing else works to explain Israel or Sharon today. They saw it. And I hit the center of the Zionist movement in Toronto.
All right, well, let's go to Nathan calling. We're just about out of time. But Nathan, do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I do. Barry, I've been following you for a long time. My basic question for you is... I run a list having to do with the Noahide laws, and I deal with a lot of patriot constitutional issues. But, you know, I'm not really getting the audience, either among Jews or Gentiles, and I have both on my list. And how, you know, there definitely is, and I agree with you very much that there is this group. I never thought of them as Sabbateans before. It might be something to really look into, but there is this group of people who are the bloodlines, the occult bloodlines, and they're very powerful. How do we get the word out that not only what the problem is, but that the solution is found in divine law, not only to Jews, but to Gentiles also? I'll take my answer off the air.
I do have an answer that I think can work, and that is the Rabin assassination. It's going to shock the whole Jewish world. It's going to shock them into a new reality. They muffed it up so badly, and the evidence is so powerful. I think you have to concentrate on one key, and that key is the knocking off of Yitzhak Rabin. The 10th anniversary of the assassination is coming up next year. I think we have an opportunity. Again, there have been 1,001 scandals in Israel in the last year alone, but the only one Israelis care about is the Rabin assassination. Concentrate on that one. When that comes out, I have a feeling it's going to change everything because people are going to trace the real murderers and they're going to get to just what we're talking about now.
And I think that you're probably absolutely right. There are so many things. I mean, here in America, we have Waco and we had Ruby Ridge and we had the Oklahoma City bombing and the downing of TWA. And you
concentrate on 9/11.
Big pardon?
That's all. You got it. You do 9/11, I'll do Rabin. Between the two of them, we'll get things done.
Well, anybody, of course, who got and looked in the background of what happened on the morning of 9/11 and has read Norman Mineta's testimony, the Secretary of Transportation.
The buildings fall down straight, like there's no demolition charges. The planes, an hour and a half after the burning has ended, somehow the steel melted. Look, you work on 9/11, I'll work on Rabin. I think that combination might do the trick.
Well, we just got to get the people to be concerned. And I think maybe a lot of people don't want to be concerned. They don't want to hear bad news, but they're going to have to hear it sooner or later, because things are going to get very bad here in America, especially as the war continues expanding and we move into the police state. And there will be, of course, a retribution for those films that were shown all over the Islamic world. Believe me, many of the Islamic people who never before would have embraced the radical position are going to embrace the radical position and strike out against both.
And look how the military leaders covered their tracks. All they did was choose the most likely perverts that entered the Marines. Okay, that's all they had to do. There's no traceability that way. They're good, you know. I mean, these guys are pretty good.
Well, they know how to do this sort of a thing, but, you know, the thing that intrigues me is when you begin reading all the papers, you begin to find out that they had military contractors, contract employees that are in charge of the investigations, contract employees that are in charge of the prisons outside of the train of military command. Who are these contract people that they're talking about? Why, they're CIA agents. They're
Halliburton, Carlisle.
Right. And this is all, you know, this is all cut and dried. They're ex-military who are working for the CIA, who've been sheep-dipped, who are certainly there. They, of course, experts in interrogation and torture, because they've been taught how to do this by the CIA. Now, our operation, our war in Iraq is a CIA operation. Our war in Afghanistan was a CIA operation. Our war in Vietnam was a CIA operation. And I'm sure our CIA worked closely with your intelligence agencies as well.
You can bet your bottom dollar.
Okay. Well, we've got about two more minutes before I have to let you
know.
Well,
just note that the 9/11 commission you had a month ago,
right,
that the majority of members were from the CFR.
Right.
Okay. So now there is an unbiased commission, if you've ever seen one. All I can say, whenever I get on the stations, look at my website, Learn Sabbateans. I admit it's a hard one to swallow, but I'm optimistic for one reason. I started with zero support on Rabin 8 years ago, and now I've got, according to all the polls, half of Israel, except that I was right. I think we can do in 8 years the Sabbateans, if we have 8 years.
Well, I admire your effort, sort of a one-man effort to awaken the people over there. I know it's sometimes it's a hard and discouraging job.
I never complain, but you're right.
God is God of giving you the ability to do what you've accomplished, and I hope that you will continue to doing that and continue getting the word out.
Oh, I will, and if it wasn't for you and people like you, you know all that. I don't have to continue.
Well, anyway, of course, there is a growing of foundation of people. Of course, you have to understand the other side's going around and buying up radio stations just as fast.
Oh, you should see Israel. This Ronald Lauder CFR has bought up the entire right-wing Israeli religious media. He bought Hatzofer, the National Religious Party newspaper. He bought Makor Rishon, the Likud newspaper. He bought Tachelet, the religious TV channel. The whole CFR, has got Israel's religious and right-wing media,
thanks to
Ronald Lauder.
Well, that's why we need alternative radio here in America right now. We need our shortwave, we need our internet, and then whatever stations we can get on, and thank goodness we have stations that have not sold out, although they make ridiculous offers to buy up these stations, and not to make money, but to silence the truth. Barry Samish, it's been a wonderful time having you with us.
All my pleasure.
And one more time, get your website out there.
www.barrychamish, one word, BARRYCHAMISH.com. Look at the books, read my writing, order the books. I'm back in Israel now in a day and a half. They'll be in the mail.
Well, thanks very much, Barry, and appreciate everything you're doing. Can they get Rabbi Adelman's book?
Oh, I'll make sure of that. You know, I didn't even have one book to take to Toronto. They were all bought in Denver. The whole carton.
Well, I hope the next time while you come with a lot more supplies. When will you be back?
Whenever somebody invites me.
God bless you.
Anyone invites me, I'm coming.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
See you later. Bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this was a pretty strong program for many of you. But Barry Samish is a Jewish patriot, and he has actually convinced half of the population of Israel today that what they thought they saw on television really wasn't true, and the fact that the Prime Minister of Israel, Rabin, was actually killed by secret agents working for their own government, and his supposition that they're actually killing Jewish soldiers today, and that they were allowing this woman, this pregnant woman, and her four daughters to be murdered, is all part of this psychological program, this psychological attack on the mind of the Jewish people, to the point where they say, give us peace, give us peace. Anything is better than what we have. And I think they're going to do the same thing right here with the American people, because I believe we're moving into very difficult times of chaos and crisis. And all we can do is try to warn you what's going to happen and then explain to you that we're involved in a spiritual battle, because behind all of these organizations, whether it's the CFR or the Sabbateans or the Rosicrucians or the Masons or the Theosophists or the any of the other secret societies, Skull and Bones, the Bohemian Grove, behind all of these are the dark spirits of forces that have been here since the time of the Garden of Eden. So if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. It's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. You get the book by itself or along with a video and an audio tape for the Brotherhood of Darkness special. You need to get my video, Iraq, The Untold Story, and you can get a syllabus with that if you want to. It will give you the entire background of the group that took over the government when George Bush went into office, because we are simply quoting from their sources off of their website. It's newamericancentury.org. If you don't have a computer, you're going to need to get this syllabus. Remember our telephone number? It's 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. We hope if you'd like to get a copy of free copy of our newsletter, we'd be glad to send it to you. And we do hope that many of you out there will challenge what we're talking about. Begin thinking about what's happening. Why, if we were attacked by Osama bin Laden and the wicked terrorists, why then did we go to war with Iraq? Well, because the war with Iraq was what it was all about. We had to have an incident to get the American people to be willing to go to war. And on the 10th of September, the American people didn't want to go to war. On the 12th of September, they did. If you don't think that they were planning an attack, you need to get my syllabus. We simply quote from their writings saying we're not going to be able to accomplish our restructuring the military unless there is a catastrophic and catalyzing event like another Pearl Harbor. And you'll get the references, and then we'll give you their book that right included in the syllabus, where they talk about the catastrophic and catalyzing event like another Pearl Harbor. And it happened on the September 11th, and you begin to realize, of course, that most of the things that have happened, they don't happen by accident any more than the distribution of those films of the inhumane treatment of the prisoners at the prison in Iraq. That didn't happen by accident. That was a conscious effort to inflame the Muslims of the world. And believe me, they're doing an excellent, excellent job in preparation for the coming war. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we do hope that many of you will understand that we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political and ideological battlefield. We hope that you go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's www.radioliberty.com. And that you'll tell others about our website, that you'll look at the items that we carry, that you'll certainly get the list of radio stations, of the radio stations in your area where we can be heard, that you'll encourage people to listen, that you'll get our programs off the Internet and tell people how to get them 5 hours a day. You'll listen to our Internet programs. Many of them are archived and are available to you. And then we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for our leaders and ministers, but war. Of course, if you go into the background of concept, the Third World War was the Cold War, and there are several people who talk about the war that will follow the Cold War. One of them is
certainly James Woolsey, a member of the PNAC group or affiliated with PNAC, member of the Council on Foreign Relations, former director of the Central Intelligence Agency under Bill Clinton. And James Woolsey says, we are today in the Fourth World War. And Jeff had written a book, actually, by this title some time ago. And, we are going to have Barry Shamus with us for the first hour. We'll be interviewing then Jeff Nyquist in the second hour. And those of you who listen to our programs regularly, we'll be having him on a number of times in the near future. But right now, Barry Shamus is with us. He's touring the United States. He's an Israeli citizen. Very, very concerned about what is happening to his country, and he would be from the very conservative wing of the political movement over there. In other words,
I don't think you can say that.
All right, well, let's put it.
I'm all by myself.
All right, Barry is.
I don't fit.
Barry is
the conservative wing thinks I'm either mad or against them.
All right, fine. Well, Barry is the. Doesn't like either political party. Let's put it
there
that
way. There
you go. All right. Barry, why don't you introduce yourself to our listeners here, because most people have never heard you before.
Oh.
Go
to my website.
New audience. Go ahead.
Go to my website.
All right.
www.barrychamish, barrychamish.com. And I don't have to explain anything. It's all there.
All right, fine. But as long as you're here and you're going to be with us for an hour,
expose the Rabin assassination for what it was. I convinced the majority of my country that Rabin was not murdered by the person sitting in prison. My book reached the top of the best-selling charts in Israel and changed the way the whole country thinks about the assassination. That's how I got very well known in Israel. Then I started chasing down Rabin's real murderers, and I discovered a world, a secret world of wickedness and rot that I never knew existed, and that led to other books. The rot and wickedness most people call the movement to bring a new world order or a global government or whatever you want to call it. I discovered new corners of that movement, and those corners are the Sabbatean movements.
All right. Well, let's get in, first of all.
Is that good?
That's fine, but let's start out with the story of the murder of Rabin. And you're talking to an American audience of good and wonderful people up in the Seattle area, up Spokane area of Washington. There are four stations listening to us up there. And then stations in Chicago and Albany, New York, and Flint, Michigan, Utica, New York, Fort Bend, Indiana. And, of course, we've got our this shortwave audience and internet audience. So why don't you tell them about the murder of Rabin? Because most people think that there was some sort of fanatic who snuck up behind him and shot him, and that's why he died. What did you find as you've investigated
this? Fortunately, most people in Israel don't believe that anymore.
All right, but the people in America...
We're talking to the virgin grass, I take it. All right, here's what really happened. Yigal Amir shot two blanks into Rabin's back. Rabin was pushed in the car. His bodyguard, Yoram Rubin, shot him twice. The car took 22 minutes to take a one-minute drive because there was an eyewitness to the car by accident. Rabin arrived at the hospital. I have all the hospital reports, by the way, every single one of them. I have all the police reports. I have all the lab reports. Rabin was revived in the ER, and he had to be shot again, believe it or not, this time through the front. So our government told us Rabin was shot twice in the back from half a yard's distance. I have all the medical reports. Rabin was shot three times. He was shot twice from point-blank range, and he was shot once from the front. And not only can I prove it, I have proven it to the satisfaction of millions of Israelis. Okay, that's the Rabin murder. The the shooter was Rabin's bodyguard, Yoram Rubin, who took orders from the head of what is our FBI, essentially, the Shabak, Carmi Gilon, who organized this murder with Shimon Peres. Shimon Peres murdered Yitzhak Rabin. And it goes even farther than that. He was working hand-in-hand with the French. That's the murder.
No.
I just summed up the murder. I have a book called Who Murdered Yitzhak Rabin? Go on my website, find my email address, order it, and you'll see it's all true. I have a video that shows the murder as it happened as well. If you don't believe me, I'll prove it to you.
All right. I think what's so interesting is that Rabin's spinal cord was transected by one of the bullets, and yet you see him, of course, after...
Walking.
He walks after he's been shot from behind.
Yeah.
He walks on, and he sort of looks around to see what this is about, and then he walks on, gets into the car, and then, of course, he gets the shot from the front, because the man that supposedly shot him was behind,
yeah,
and one of these shots transects his
They
spinal
really
cord.
Screwed up that murder, let me tell you.
Well, these people really aren't that smart. We try to usually get a lot more...
No, they're smart enough to fool the Jews. And that's what worries me. I'm going to switch a little bit from Rabin. You could come back if you'd like. But something awful is going on in Israel right now.
All right, let's go ahead and cover what's going on over
they're
there.
They're killing our soldiers in Gaza.
This idea of pulling...
I don't mean
out,
Arabs.
Right. Well, now, who's...
I mean the same people who murdered Rabin are killing our people in Gaza.
Now, are they killing the soldiers there? We're trying to clear the area down in the south.
They're trying to force a withdrawal. Now, here's what happened. There was a big rally in Tel Aviv, about 100,000 people, on the night before a Likud referendum, Likud is Sharon's party. And the referendum was whether to go ahead with a withdrawal from Gaza. And just before this rally, a mother... and her four children, a pregnant woman, from 2 to 11, the children are slaughtered. The murderer was never caught, but they were slaughtered. Now, the order came from our secret services, the people who are ruining our country, and the people who are working with the fiends from abroad who are determined to remove Israel from the map. Now, I'll tell you how I know a few things.
All right, and of course, whenever we see one of these atrocities, the question is, well, are we being told the truth? In other words, was this a Palestinian terrorist, or could it be that they would actually kill Israeli people
for
the emotional reaction on the Israeli people?
They killed the Jews of Europe, these same people. Okay, now we will... That's Sabbatean for later, if you want.
Okay, fine.
Now we will go to the soldier who visited me last December. Only once, that's the way it happens with me a lot, let me tell you, that people find the courage only once that they come. He was 27 years in the service. He phoned me up the night before, said, I want to buy your book, Save Israel. It's out in Hebrew as well. And he said, no, I got to talk to you. I can't stand this anymore. So he came over, and we had a long talk. And boy, did he establish his credentials in a hurry. He established them extremely well. And he said, I want to tell you what happened on October 27th. October 27th, three Israeli soldiers were killed in Netzarim. It's an army base in the Gaza Strip. At 3 in the afternoon, the base commander stripped three soldiers, two women and a man, a 19-year-old boy, of their weapons. Believe it or not, the army said that they ran out of money and didn't have enough weapons to go around. If you can believe the baloney they tried to sell for this. But at 11 in the evening, approximately, two Arabs entered the base and killed these unarmed soldiers. And the next day, the government announced this plan to remove the settlers of Netzarim into the Negev. And then the whole withdrawal from Gaza plan of Sharon started. First with Ehud Olmert. All right. The soldiers have told me outright, he said, there's a base with 150 soldiers. There is no possible way the terrorists would have known where the only unarmed soldiers were sleeping. He says that could only have come from our own intelligence. There's no other way. This week, now there was a referendum, and on that night, they tried to change the referendum by slaughtering the most grisly murder they can think of. A helpless woman with four daughters, 2 to 11. She is pregnant. The most grisly murder they could think of, wiping out a whole family. And the referendum still failed. And
when that happened,
I was in Toronto. And everyone I was around were so thrilled and so happy. Democracy had triumphed. Sharon had been defeated. Gaza is safe. I told him, I said, you don't know what's going to happen now. said, you really think we have a democracy in Israel? You don't know what they're going to do now. I said, you're going to see so many dead young people next week, it'll make your head spin. Then I took off from Toronto and went to Miami, and I was with Peter Golden. He's a filmmaker. We're making a Rabin documentary. And he was so thrilled that the referendum failed. And I said, Peter, I predict by the end of this week at least 15 dead young Israelis. And 13 was the final tally. One day it was 7, next day it was 6, I believe. Soldiers in you know, old APCs, World War II vintage, rollover mines, I assure you, our intelligence services gave those Arabs the exact details they needed to put down the mine, where, when, the works.
All right,
I assure you. That's what happened.
Well, for our listeners, what basically happened was after they put this boat up to the Israelis, do you want to back Sharon? I guess it was the Ludic Party. Do you want to back Sharon's effort to pull out of Gaza? And, of course, the average Jew feels that this is their land. They should not be pulling out of Gaza. So they voted against the prime
overwhelmingly.
Minister. Overwhelmingly against him. So what Barry is saying is that they are creating a situation. They're going to
2 days ago, 100,000 people rallied in Tel Aviv to get out of Gaza. Now the public opinion is 75% less withdraw from Gaza. Damn the democracy. These people will murder our youngest and finest soldiers to get their way. Sharon has cut a deal. And by the way, it's all-encompassing. It's been reported by Yediot Achronot. He cut a deal. He was forced. It doesn't matter whether he was forced or not. He cut a deal. With Joschka Fischer, he is the foreign minister of Germany, and, of course, with your Council on Foreign Relations in New York, the whole gang. That Gaza, the Jews get out of Gaza, that's it. And the rest of the deal is just nightmarish. Now, I've been saying, I don't know how many years I've been saying the same thing. If somebody was really interested in peace, forget the 7,000 acres that these 8,000 Jews live on. It's nothing. It's a park in an average American city. If you really were serious, you would go into the Sinai, where there is 36,000 square miles of empty land, and I do mean empty. There's about 50,000 Bedouins living in that whole area. When we had it, we made it very fertile and worthwhile. If you wanted to, you'd extend the Gaza Strip. You'd forget these Jewish settlers in Gaza. They're meaningless. You'd go and create from Gaza a legitimate state using the Sinai Peninsula. But that, of course, would require Egypt to actually want to live next door to a Palestinian state, which they do not. And anyways, the Sinai was never Egyptian, historically. It was Turkish till 1906, and the Turks gave it to the British. There was chicanery there, too, but nonetheless, the British annexed it to Egypt. It has nothing to do with Egypt. The residents there are Bedouin, not Egyptian. If anyone wanted to, they could make the Gaza a legitimate state, and that's what the plan is, except there's one little fly in the ointment. Israel's got to give back the Negev, a big chunk of the Negev, to the Egyptians. Believe it or not, that's the deal that Sharon cut. Now, in order for this deal to go through, you've got to get those pesky religious Jews out of Gaza, and they are just murdering secular Israelis to turn the tide in the country to outrage. They're murdering them, and they will continue to murder them until the bulldozers come and knock down the houses of these fine Jews living in Gaza.
Well, of course, don't you think the Palestinians are being used as just pawns in this exactly?
Of course.
The Jewish settlers are being used as pawns?
Of course. We're talking about conflict.
And
we're talking about endless conflict.
And this is the way they manipulate things, and it's a terrible thing to contemplate, and yet this is exactly what they're up to, and they don't care how many Jews they kill. Yeah. And I'm talking about the people in control of Israel today, killing Jews to turn public opinion against this recent referendum so they can justify pulling out.
The Sabbateans. But again, I did a little TV interview tonight, and I just pointed out, do you really believe that the American military didn't send the most perverse soldiers into those prisons. They didn't check first. They knew who they were sending. It came right from they made a marvelous choice of the greatest sadists and perverts they could put together and put them in that prison to totally make the Arabs more nuts.
Well, of course, we haven't talked about this before, but
it's
I've
all
been trying
the
to
same.
Tell people
they're
that.
Building the war in the Middle East, and the Jews are going to get slaughtered again.
And the whole idea of what Barry is saying, and I agree with it totally, is this whole tragedy of seeing all of these pictures of the humiliation of the naked Arabs over there to inflame Arabs throughout the world against the United States in preparation for the coming war. Would that be that war?
They are building the Third World War just fine. The same way they made the Germans nuts, they are making the Arabs nuts, and they want. They don't want peace. Israel is not supposed to get peace. Israel is supposed to get indefensible borders. We're supposed to disappear.
Well, I'll tell you what. Of course, when I first went to Israel, why your border was the river, certainly, and the river there was a very, very defensible position. It wasn't an ideal.
Well, the hills above it certainly are pretty good. You can put lots of artillery. Aim it straight into downtown Amman, and it's just fine. The same with the Golan Heights. You can put lots of artillery and make a Damascus rubble the next day without sending a plane against it. These are defensible positions. You remove that, and we've got the plains. That's all. You divide Jerusalem in half, we got Beirut. Yeah, they know what they're doing. They're aiming for slaughter of Jews.
And, of course, what they've done is everybody's complaining about the wall. Oh, this is not a defensible position, but
not to keep Arabs out. It's to keep us in.
Right.
We're talking about the Warsaw Ghetto again. They're doing the same stuff they did in Europe. They're walling us in.
And they're making the wall
smaller and smaller, tighter and tighter. Get the Jews out of Gaza. That means Gaza will no longer be militarily feasible. With the Jews in Gaza, we can cut the Gaza Strip in three in a matter of seconds. We can go after the tunnels. You take away those settlements, it's going to be many, many casualties to do very, very basic and essential military operations. And then you have to ask the question, how come we're not at war with Egypt? Egypt is letting its land be used to smuggle in. And we're not just talking small arms. We're talking even APCs. We're talking APCs coming in parts, tires, engines, the whole thing.
Well, I think that APC is armed personnel.
Armored personnel carrier.
Right.
In other words, Arabs and armored personnel carriers could run over those Gaza settlements in about 8 minutes.
And what we've done, if you believe that the Jews control the American government, they have forced, of course, the Israelis to give up over 95% of the land they had 10, 15 years ago.
I've heard this. We're the tail wagging the dog.
Hey, hang on, Barry. We're going to have to go to a break.
Okay, you got it.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Barry Sammis, who is a Jewish patriot who's over here trying to tell the American people and the Jewish audiences he's speaking to what's really going on over there and the planned betrayal of Israel. And this is really what it's all about. And as we were saying before we went to the break, I mean, you hear this over and over again. America's foreign policy it has to do with Israel and the Zionist control. And the reason we're in the Middle East is so that we can protect Israel. Well, if we're trying to protect Israel, why have we forced them to give up, what is it, about 95% of the land?
If you count the Sinai?
Right.
If you count the 36,000 square miles of the Sinai? Are you kidding? We're now left with 9,000.
Right.
9,800, something like that. We're going to be down to about 7,800, and then we'll be down to nothing.
And these are acres?
No, square miles.
Square miles. Well, it still is. It's just a tiny, tiny place.
It's Connecticut.
You know, that places that wall is about 8 miles from the Mediterranean. It is totally indefensible.
Let us put it this way. Now, this is going to be tough. This is my latest research. And honest, I gave it to big audiences, the Sabbateans. And these audiences, Jews and Christians, knew it was right.
All right. Well, we want to hold the Sabbateans until we can get all of our stations back, because right now we have the people in the east and the people up in the state of Washington aren't going to hear us for about 2.5 minutes. So I do want them to hear the story of the Sabbateans, because I think it is so pivotal to an understanding of what's going on today. There really is an organization. There is organized evil. And, of course, it permeates every aspect of religion today. But coming from you, I think this will have a great deal more authority. Why don't you just mention briefly to our listening audience now, which is shortwave internet and here in the central coast of California, really a little bit about Rabbi Antleman, because many years ago, I can remember, probably 25 years ago, he wrote a book. What was it about? The opiate?
To eliminate the opiate.
To eliminate
the opiate.
In other
words, to destroy the Jewish religion and essentially all religion. But the opiate is religion, of course.
All right, fine. And so, basically, what was his theme? Because he was a very learned, scholarly individual who was trying to convince people. What was it, 20 years ago he wrote that
1974.
Book? Oh, boy.
30 years ago.
Right.
And somehow or another, and by the way, in his wake, at the TV interview I did today, there's another book that says the same thing. It's called The Secret Tribe. It's by Yochanan Prince, and I've got to get this book. Makes the exact same claims, precisely, that there was a false messiah. His name was Shabtai Tzvi. He declared his messianic regime, the era of his messianism, on June 18th of 1666. And believe it or not, most of the Jewish world fell in with him.
Now, this is 1666.
Yep, it sure is.
What, almost 400 years ago?
Yes, it sure is.
Okay.
And it didn't go away. Now, what happened is that his religion was anti-Judaism. Do not kill became kill, and do not adulter became adulter. In fact, incest, homosexuality, the whole, you name it, if it was perverted, it was a new religion. This was anti-Torah, anti-Talmud. Now, and by the way, that's what's ruling America today. That aspect of it has just been taken over the world. That aspect of it has not died.
All right, fine. Well, you're going to have to hold that thought here, and we'll be bringing all of our stations back on here in just about 2 seconds, and then we'll want to get into this. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Barry Shamison. He comes from Israel. He's talking about a group called the Sabbateans. This was a sect of Judaism that was organized about 350 years ago. Would you like to talk a little bit about this? Because it is a sect of Judaism that is anti-Jewish. Pick
it
up
is
the story.
The antithesis of Judaism. Shabtai Tzvi was a false messiah who managed somehow to capture the imagination of the Jewish world. He declared he was Messiah on June 18, 1666, and the Jewish world, the Middle East, Europe, they sold their goods, they waited on hilltops to be transported to the New Jerusalem. It was a manic plague which hit Judaism. And then the Turks, he was Turkish, Shabtai Tzvi, the Turkish Sultan had enough of this, and had him arrested. And in September of that year, he gave him a choice. He either converts to Islam, or he's tortured to death. And he wisely chose conversion. And that was the end of the delusion for 99% of Jews, let's say. However, there was a sect in Turkey called the Donme, which decided that his conversion was a divine act. And that what he meant to say was that the Sabbateans have to convert seek into Islam and later Catholicism. I'll get to that. And keep their practices secret. This is why the CFR, for instance, has just a slew of politicians who forgot their fathers were Jewish or their mothers were Jewish. Kerry is just the latest in a long line. Wesley Clark, Madeleine Albright. They claim to be of other religions. They are practicing Sabbateans to this day. Now, in 1785, one Jacob Frank, who was the head of the Sabbateans in Poland, cut a deal with Adam Weishaupt in the city of Frankfurt, and Mayor Ansel Rothschild. They were all living in Frankfurt at the time, and they all cut a deal that they would attempt a world takeover of this combination of very, very sick ideologies, because alone they weren't succeeding. Rothschild was trapped inside the Frankfurt ghetto. He just could not make the money he wanted to make. It was very tough for a Jew to be in Frankfurt in 1785, but he was moderately successful. He was doing all right. The Jesuits, Adam Weishaupt, they had another agenda. They hated the Protestant Reformation, hated Germany, the land of Luther, and what they were up to was conspiring every which way to get the world back to the days where Rome was the capital, and there was one pope over world religion. And the Rothschilds had already cut a deal with Weishaupt, but they didn't have the resources of the Sabbateans. They had agents all through the Middle East and Europe, supposedly practicing Islam, Catholicism. They provided the ability to spread the influence. And a pact was made. The Sabbateans, their theology was very, very clear-cut. Jews who rejected Shabtai Tzvi as Messiah either accepted him or died. That simple. There was no room for both. And from that time on, the fate of Jewry has been just a disaster. The biggest decision they made was in the 1860s. Now, see, one thing should be known. The Illuminati was banned throughout Europe. It was exposed in the 1780s, 90s.
By 1785, it was actually exposed, and then it was supposed to be outlawed, but it infiltrated the upper echelons of Masonry. And
No, that was a policy decision. That was a policy decision. After the Illuminati were exposed and banned, Weishaupt came up with a very clever plan. He'll spread the ideology by infiltrating British Freemasonry.
Right.
And hence, British Freemasonry, which was probably all right, I mean, it was probably okay, suddenly became an Illuminati center. And that's the triangle. Sabbatean, Jesuit Illuminati, funded by Rothschild. That was the horrible, horrible combination which has sent which controls America. But more to the point, in the 1860s, a decision was made, again, through British Freemasonry, to win over world Judaism to this false Messiah by creating a state in the ancient land of Israel, a Sabbatean state. And the early labor Zionists, all were from Germany, all of them, the works, or Vienna, German-speaking countries. The Sabbateans used their brightest talents, and they had already done this, by the way, with Marx and Engels and communism. They sent apostate Jews to England, where they spread the new vision of communism.
Okay.
Now it was Zionism.
Hold that thought right there, Barry.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our special guest this evening is Barry Shamish, who is a Jewish patriot. He is traveling around the United States and around Israel, trying to educate people as to what's going on. Certainly, he's had a profound impact upon his own homeland, Israel, explaining to them that Rabin, the prime minister of Israel, was assassinated. He wasn't hit or killed by a lone crazed gunman at all. It was a government-inspired a hit, and just as the murder of John Kennedy was certainly carried out with the full support of the CIA and the FBI here in the United States, so the murder of Rabin was similarly carried out, because there is organized evil in the world, and until people begin to recognize this, you can't understand anything that's going on. And of course, Barry has picked up on ideas of Rabbi Edelman that were written 30 years ago, and I still have that to eliminate the opiate copy of Rabbi Antelsman's book, who had written about this 30 years ago. And Barry then is telling us how this movement had permeated the Jewish religion, and then eventually most of it was forgotten. Most Jews had nothing to do with this, and then pressure was increasingly began to put on them to come into this. And you were talking about something that happened in the 1800s?
The 1860s, Zionism was created.
Right.
Through British Freemasonry, to create a Sabbatean state. In other words, an anti-religious state. Now, to get the Jews there, they had to make life in Europe just intolerable. And then the pogroms started, and it got worse. But still, the Jews didn't go to Palestine. They went to America. So Colonel House pressed Wilson, President Wilson, to close immigration. Every means to get the Jews to Palestine in this Sabbatean state were used, but it took a Holocaust to create Israel.
Well, of course, we had the Balfour Declaration after the
Freemasonry and Chaim Weizmann, evil, wicked man. Now, in 1933, these Sabbateans cut a deal with the Nazis. It's called the Transfer Agreement. Now, understand, in 1932, more than 250 Jewish organizations represented German Jewry. In 1934, only one was allowed, Labor Zionism. The deal, and by the way, Edwin Black has a book called The Transfer Agreement, which is real useful in understanding what this deal was. The deal was the Nazis make life intolerable for the Jews. Labor Zionist indoctrination camps are set up to prepare the Jews to become Sabbateans. The British opened the borders until 1939.
Hold that thought right there. We're going to bring our stations back up. Okay, Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening is Barry Shamish, and he's talking about the Sabbatean movement, which, of course, it infiltrated the Jewish labor movement and had actually worked with Adolf Hitler.
They created the Jewish labor movement.
Beg pardon?
They created labor Zionism.
And
it was theirs.
And, of course, they had actually come up with something known as the Transfer Agreement. And this was that the Jews would not be allowed to come to the United States or Great Britain.
No, that was separate.
All right, go ahead. You explain it, Barry.
No, the borders were cut off to the United States. Immigration was cut off.
Right.
The American Jewish establishment was totally Sabbatean. Felix Frankfurter, Stephen Wise, they were all Sabbateans. And Antelman and other writers. Go to my website, see the other writers who have traced these guys. The American Jewish establishment, like today, was Sabbatean. Now, the Jews couldn't go to the United States. Wilson had cut off immigration. They had to go to Palestine, but life was made so intolerable to Germany, to German Jewry, they had to go somewhere. Anyone who got on a boat and didn't go to Palestine, there was a world diplomatic order. Those boats are sent back to Germany and the people to their deaths. It was Palestine or nothing. By 1939, you had enough German Jews in Palestine, over 60,000, to make a viable Sabbatean state. They were thoroughly indoctrinated, and then the British announced the White Paper, cutting off immigration, no more Jews into Palestine. The war starts, the Holocaust goes on, nobody tries to rescue the Jews. The American Jewish establishment prevents any rescue led by Stephen Wise. The Jewish agency in Jerusalem keeps the news of the Holocaust a complete secret until 1943. But now we go backwards to 1933, when there was a very moral and good Zionism. It was led by Vladimir Jabotinsky. It was then called Revisionist Zionism. It later became Chelut. Sharon was, in 1974, sat down with Henry Kissinger after the Yom Kippur War, and he was told that you are going to destroy the Chelut movement, the good Zionism, the moral Zionism. And he said, Sharon was always a Sabbatean. He was always left-wing Mapai, always. He had a political party called Shlom Sion. He joined it with Menachem Begin's Chayrut and another party called Gachal, liberals. They formed the Likud. Sharon's task was to destroy that movement, and he has. And now we find out he's going back to his Sabbatean roots. He is now showing the true Sharon. He is doing what he was supposed to do. He is destroying Israel, and that's what he was supposed to do. What these people, the Sabbateans, have concluded is the last thing they want is an Israel that is moral and based on the Torah. They did not go to all this effort to create a moral, religious-based Israel. They would rather Israel died before they saw that. Now, what this war in Gaza is all about, it's about a war against the Jewish religion, totally demoralize them. Now, if you think, now here's what the trick they're using. It's the old mafia trick. You've got a mafia running Israel. The mafia trick is you shake down someone and tell them it's the last payment. So now they're shaking down the Israeli people and telling them Gaza's the last payment. But the payments never stop. Never. They go on, and they will go on all the way to Jerusalem. And sadly, it's working. The killing of the young soldiers, all the strategy is working. Israelis actually believe that this will be the last payment, and they don't understand their country's going to go. It's going to go. And remember what the PLO state, the Palestinian Authority, remember how they started? Gaza first. It's the same system, and the Jews are falling for it.
Sure. And the great tragedy is that we're dealing with people who have no concern over human life, and they'll sacrifice the life of Jews just as well as they will of Palestinians or anybody else. Or
when Israel
Americans,
goes, they
really
have the finances to start over wherever they want. They'll be fine.
Well, I really fear, though, that we're going to see the Third World War coming about.
And the Second Holocaust.
Wait, pardon?
And the Second Holocaust.
Right.
And that's what's being planned. That's what's being planned. Get out of Iraq. Just get out of there.
Well, I wish we could, but unfortunately, anybody who suggests that we should pull out of Iraq immediately is pro-terrorist, is pro-Arab, is anti-American.
Get out of
there. We never should have been there in the first place. This is a tragedy.
They're using it the same way they use Czechoslovakia, Sudetenland, Poland. They're using it the same way.
Well,
it's going to spread.
If you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question, a comment, give us a call. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California, that's 464-8295. If you have a question for Barry, Barry is sort of a one-man dedicated neither to the Labor Party nor the Likud Party. He's a Jewish patriot. He's trying to let people understand, both in Israel and here in the United States, that Israel is being betrayed, but America is being betrayed as well. And we've been manipulated into this war in Iraq as a prelude to a series of wars that are going to have a terrible destructive effect on our country. And if you care about America, you have an obligation to find out what's going on. Go to Barry's website, get his information, and go to our website, get our information. Understand, everybody is being manipulated. They really do not care how many American boys die. And if you don't believe that, you need to get the book, The Final Days, written by Woodward and Bernstein. And there on page 194, you'll find the quotation from that great patriot, Henry Kissinger, who says the soldiers, the military men, are simply stupid, dumb animals to be used for foreign policy negotiations, for foreign policy purposes. Our military are stupid, dumb animals. That's their attitude towards the boys that we send overseas. And as long as we leave them in control and making the decisions, why these tragedies will continue.
Yeah, and here's my website, by the way. You brought it up, www.barrychamish, barrychamish.com, and order my books. Incidentally, by the way, I did two TV shows tonight.
Right.
The producer said you changed her life, and she said I changed her life. Somewhere along the line, she crossed us, and we both changed our lives.
Well,
she read your book, she read my book.
Well, wonderful. Now, can people get your book from an 800 number they have to order?
Just email me.
Okay, Neil. Well, let's go to Roger, who's calling in from Allentown. And I'm glad to hear that you had an impact on the producer, that I should read my book as well. Of course, we're a couple of voices crying in the wilderness, but at least we're voices. And as long as God gives me a voice, I'll continue to give you a voice on iNetwork.
Oh, I appreciate it. Now, Roger in Allentown.
Do you know Roger?
Yeah, that's an awful song, but I'll let that go.
All right, go ahead.
Hey, Barry, I'd like to ask, two questions, please. The first kind of to clarify, because this is a little confusing, I think, to a lot of people listening, and including me as well, but I'm assuming I'm stating, basically restating what both you guys said, that basically both Israel's top-level establishment, movers and shakers, as well as our own, are perfectly in concert, basically secularized, atheistic for the most part, in concert against both the interests of Israel and the United States and for other secondary and tertiary power-mongering purposes.
Bullseye. You know, yes.
Okay.
I don't know what I can add to that. You summed it up beautifully.
And, of course, I believe, as you know, Roger, that there's a Luciferian component to this whole incredible story. What was your second question?
Yeah, second and last, please. Do you possibly ever get invited to come on? There's a Rabbi Yaakov Spivak who's on BCQ and also on this frequency for the last few months, a couple hours earlier. And it's interesting, you get some of these nominally Jewish, he's a Jewish rabbi teaching Judaism on the shortwave World Band Radio. And it's always, he's always conveniently ignorant of anything having to do with it. Now, he did have a conspiracy guest on a few months back, and it's, well, that might be possible kind of thing. But how is it that he's basically universally ignorant on any of the things you've been talking about?
Oh, my. You know, tomorrow I go back to Israel. I had a month-long tour. I want to know there's ups and downs. I gave speeches at synagogues in Reno at Temple Emmanuel, in Miami, B'nai Isaac, and blank faces. They've never heard a thing. Look, here are the leaders of the American Jewish establishment. Okay? Edgar Bronfman, CFR. Okay? Mort Zuckerman, CFR. Lauder, CFR. Henlin, CFR. Siegman, CFR. American Jewish Committee, World Jewish Committee, they're all in the hands of the CFR. Now, you're asking why American Jews are ignorant. They are led by these Sabbatean monsters. That's why. Now,
but
I got to tell you something.
But they
I have an easier time with Christians.
Okay.
But they themselves are not necessarily Sabbatean, so there's no real reason.
Let's put it this way. Some are knowingly. Now, I found out something remarkable in Toronto. A marvelous reader of mine, Dr. Reuven Lexier, pulled out articles way back from Mordechai Richler. Samuel Bronfman, in 1939, cut a deal with Canada's Prime Minister, Mackenzie King, to make sure no Jews escaping the Holocaust were allowed in Canada. And his sons, Charles and Edgar Bronfman, are carrying on the tradition. I think they are Sabbatean.
And the thing is, Roger, as incredible as it may seem, most Americans are good Americans. They have no idea what's going on. I didn't have any idea what was going on 42 years ago when I turned on the wrong television set and heard a man saying, not exactly what Barry is saying, but talking about how the media was controlled, how we'd brought Fidel Castro to power in Cuba knowing he was a communist, and that we were a republic and not a democracy. I just couldn't believe that sort of thing. But at least I tried to prove the man wrong. That was a pivotal moment in my life because I found that that man was right. But the average individual out there has no idea what's going on, and this is why I do what I do 5 hours a day, is trying to get people at least to think and to begin to challenge and to find out, is it possible that these things could really be true? Okay, anything else, Roger?
God bless you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
This guy is good. He summed it up well. Look, the key, once again, okay, I'll give you, I've had a month now in America. There are people who've caught on. There are Christians who are going back to their Hebrew roots, and somehow or another, I met them in Fort Collins, I met them in Denver. In Denver, there were 500 people, if you can believe this. Standing ovation, the works. These are Christians who believe that that their Hebrew roots are extremely important to understanding their religion. They know everything. I didn't have to explain a thing to anybody. There are people, believe it or not, who somehow have come to the truth. I wish the Jews were as smart as Christians sometimes, I tell you.
Well, I think the reason that you got such a good response there in Denver is because of the American Freedom Network.
Oh, Don Wiedemann has been on top of things for... Yes, you're right.
And Don has done a tremendous job, and with one radio station, he reaches all the major populated areas in Colorado outside of Fort Collins. Other than that, we're into Boulder, we're into, we are in Fort Collins, we're not in Colorado Springs, but we're the whole city of Denver up into Wyoming. But those people who listen day in and day out to the programs he has on his station have gotten educated, and that's why I believe that talk radio is the last means we have of reaching people across America.
Well, I know this. Don filmed me, and I am going to email Don for that film, and I'm going to spread it throughout Israel. Okay? We'll do our best that way.
Well, I will probably ask Don for a copy of that tape because I think it'll be so vitally important that people have a chance to understand that there are forces working behind the scenes which most people are totally unaware of.
And now, get this. I'm going to tell you something that's going to shock you. I had 150 in Toronto. I spoke at the Toronto Zionist Center. They all got it. They knew. I saw. You could hear a pin drop. No one left. They saw it was the explanation they've been looking for. Nothing else works to explain Israel or Sharon today. They saw it. And I hit the center of the Zionist movement in Toronto.
All right, well, let's go to Nathan calling. We're just about out of time. But Nathan, do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I do. Listen, Barry, I've been following you for a long time. My basic question for you is... I run a list having to do with the Noahide laws, and I deal with a lot of patriot constitutional issues. But, I'm not really getting the audience, either among Jews or Gentiles, and I have both on my list. And how, there definitely is, and I agree with you very much that there is this group. I never thought of them as Sabbateans before. It might be something to really look into, but there is this group of people who are the bloodlines, the occult bloodlines, and they're very powerful. How do we get the word out that not only what the problem is, but that the solution is found in divine law, not only to Jews, but to Gentiles also? I'll take my answer off the air.
I do have an answer that I think can work, and that is the Rabin assassination. It's going to shock the whole Jewish world. It's going to shock them into a new reality. They mucked it up so badly, and the evidence is so powerful. I think you have to concentrate on one key, and that key is the knocking off of Yitzhak Rabin. The 10th anniversary of the assassination is coming up next year. I think we have an opportunity. Again, there have been 1,001 scandals in Israel in the last year alone, but the only one Israelis care about is the Rabin assassination. Concentrate on that one. When that comes out, I have a feeling it's going to change everything because people are going to trace the real murderers and they're going to get to just what we're talking about now.
And I think that you're probably absolutely right. There are so many things. I mean, here in America, we have Waco and we had Ruby Ridge and we had the Oklahoma City bombing and the downing of TWA. And you
concentrate on 9/11.
Big pardon?
That's all. You got it. You do 9/11, I'll do Rabin. Between the two of them, we'll get things done.
Well, anybody, of course, who got and looked in the background of what happened on the morning of 9/11 and has read Norman Mineta's testimony, the Secretary of Transportation.
The buildings fall down straight, like there's no demolition charges. The planes, an hour and a half after the burning has ended, somehow the steel melted. Look, you work on 9/11, I'll work on Rabin. I think that combination might do the trick.
Well, we just got to get the people to be concerned. And I think maybe a lot of people don't want to be concerned. They don't want to hear bad news, but they're going to have to hear it sooner or later because things are going to get very bad here in America, especially as the war continues expanding and we move into the police state. And there will be, of course, a retribution for those films that were shown all over the Islamic world. Believe me, many of the Islamic people who never before would have embraced the radical position are going to embrace the radical position and strike out against both.
And look how the military leaders covered their tracks. All they did was choose the most likely perverts that enter the Marines. Okay, that's all they had to do. There's no traceability that way. They're good, you know. I mean, these guys are pretty good.
Well, they know how to do this sort of a thing, but, you know, the thing that intrigues me is when you begin reading all the papers, you begin to find out that they had military contractors, contract employees that are in charge of the investigations, contract employees that are in charge of the prisons outside of the train of military command. Who are these contractors? People that they're talking about, why they're CIA agents. They're
Halliburton, Carlisle.
Right. And this is all, you know, this is all cut and dried. They're ex-military who are working for the CIA, who've been sheep-dipped, who are certainly there. They, of course, experts in interrogation and torture because they've been taught how to do this by the CIA. Now, our operation, our war in Iraq is a CIA operation. Our war in Afghanistan was a CIA operation. Our war in Vietnam was a CIA operation. And I'm sure our CIA worked closely with your intelligence agencies as well.
You can bet your bottom dollar.
Okay. Well, we've got about two more minutes before I have to let you
go,
Barry.
Well, just note that the 9/11 commission you had a month ago,
right,
that the majority of members were from the CFR.
Right.
Okay. So now there is an unbiased commission, if you've ever seen one. All I can say, whenever I get on the stations, look at my website, Learn Sabbateans. I admit it's a hard one to swallow, but I'm optimistic for one reason. I started with zero support on Rabin 8 years ago, and now I've got, according to all the polls, half of Israel, except that I was right. I think we can do in 8 years the Sabbateans, if we have 8 years.
Well, I admire your effort, sort of a one-man effort to awaken the people over there. I know it's sometimes it's a hard and discouraging job.
Oh, I complain, but
God,
you're right.
God has got to have given you the ability to do what you've accomplished, and I hope that you will continue to doing that and continue getting the word out.
Oh, I will, and if it wasn't for you and people like you, you know all that. I don't have to continue.
Well, anyway, of course, there is a growing foundation of people. Of course, you have to understand the other side's going around and buying up radio stations just as fast.
Oh, you should see Israel. This Ronald Lauder CFR has bought up the entire right-wing Israeli religious media. He bought Hatzafeh, the National Religious Party newspaper. He bought Makor Rishon, the Likud newspaper. He bought Tachelet, the religious TV channel. The whole CFR, has got Israel's religious and right-wing media.
Well, that's
thanks to Ronald Lauder.
Well, that's why we need alternative radio here in America right now. We need our shortwave, we need our internet, and then whatever stations we can get on. And thank goodness we have stations that have not sold out, although they make ridiculous offers to buy up these stations, and not to make money, but to silence the truth. Barry Samish, it's been a wonderful time having you with us.
All my pleasure.
And one more time, get your website out there.
www.barrychamish, one word, BarryChamish. Look at the books, read my writing, order the books. I'm back in Israel now in a day and a half. They'll be in the mail.
Well, thanks very much, Barry, and appreciate everything you're doing. Can they get that Rabbi Adelman's book?
Oh, I'll make sure of that. You know, I didn't even have one book to take to Toronto. They were all bought in Denver. The whole carton.
Well, I hope the next time while you come with a lot more supplies, when will you be back?
Whenever somebody invites me.
God bless you.
Anyone invites me, I'm coming.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
See you later. Bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this was a pretty strong program for many of you. But Barry Samish is a Jewish patriot, and he has actually convinced half of the population of Israel today that what they thought they saw on television really wasn't true, and the fact that the Prime Minister of Israel Rabin was actually killed by secret agents working for their own government, and his supposition that they were actually killing Jewish soldiers today, and that they were allowing this woman, this pregnant woman, and her four daughters to be murdered, is all part of this psychological program, this psychological attack on the mind of the Jewish people, to the point where they say, give us peace, anything is better than what we have. And I think they're going to do the same thing right here with the American people, because I believe we're moving into very difficult times of chaos and crisis, and all we can do is try to warn you what's going to happen and then explain to you that we're involved in a spiritual battle, because behind all of these organizations, whether it's the CFR or the Sabbateans or the Rosicrucians or the Masons or the Theosophists or the any of the other secret societies, Skull and Bones, the Bohemian Grove, behind all of these are the dark spiritual forces that have been here since the time of the Garden of Eden. So if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. It's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. You can get the book by itself or along with a video and an audio tape for the Brotherhood of Darkness special. You need to get my video, Iraq, The Untold Story, and you can get a syllabus with that if you want to. It will give you the entire background of the group that took over the government when George Bush went into office, because we are simply quoting from their sources off of their website. It's newamericancentury.org. If you don't have a computer, you're going to need to get this syllabus. Remember our telephone number? It's 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. We hope if you'd like to get a copy of free copy of our newsletter, we'd be glad to send it to you. And we do hope that many of you out there will challenge what we're talking about. Begin thinking about what's happening. Why, if we were attacked by Osama bin Laden and the wicked terrorists, why then did we go to war with Iraq? Well, because the war with Iraq was what it was all about. We had to have an incident to get the American people to be willing to go to war. And on the 10th of September, the American people didn't want to go to war. On the 12th of September, they did. If you don't think that they were planning an attack, you need to get my syllabus. We simply quote from their writings saying we're not going to be able to accomplish our restructuring the military unless there is a catastrophic and catalyzing event like another Pearl Harbor, and you'll get the references, and then we'll give you their book that right included in the syllabus, where they talk about the catastrophic and catalyzing event like another Pearl Harbor. And it happened on the September 11th, and you begin to realize, of course, that most of the things that have happened, they don't happen by accident, any more than the distribution of those films of the inhumane treatment of the prisoners at the prison in Iraq. That didn't happen by accident. That was a conscious effort to inflame the Muslims of the world. And believe me, they're doing an excellent, excellent job in preparation for the coming war. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we do hope that many of you will understand that we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political and ideological battlefield. We hope that you go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's www.radioliberty.com. And that you'll tell others about our website, that you'll look at the items that we carry, that you'll get the list of radio stations, of the radio stations in your area where we can be heard, that you'll encourage people to listen, that you'll get our programs off the Internet and tell people how to get them 5 hours a day. You'll listen to our Internet programs. Many of them are archived and are available to you. And then we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for our leaders and ministers, but war, of course, if you go into the background of the concept, the
Third World War was the Cold War, and there are several people who talk about the war that will follow the Cold War. One of them is certainly James Woolsey, a member of the PNAC group or affiliated with PNAC, member of the Council on Foreign Relations, former director of the Central Intelligence Agency under Bill Clinton. And James Woolsey says, we are today in the Fourth World War. And Jeff had written a book, actually, by this title some time ago. And, we're going to have Barry Shamus with us for the first hour. We'll be interviewing then Jeff Nyquist in the second hour. And those of you who listen to our programs regularly, we'll be having him on a number of times in the near future. But right now, Barry Shamus is with us. He's touring the United States. He's an Israeli citizen. Very, very concerned about what is happening to his country, and he would be from the very conservative wing of the political movement over there. In other words,
I don't think you can say that.
All right, well, let's put it.
I'm all by myself.
All right, Barry is.
I don't fit.
Barry is
the conservative wing thinks I'm either mad or against them.
All right, fine. Well, Barry is the. Doesn't like either political party. Let's put it
there
that
you
way.
Go.
All right. Barry, why don't you introduce yourself to our listeners here, because most people have never heard you before.
Oh.
Go
to my website.
New audience. Go ahead. Go
to my website.
All right.
www.barrychamish.com. And I don't have to explain anything. It's all there.
All right, fine. But as long as you're here and you're going to be with us for an hour, why
don't you... expose the Rabin assassination for what it was. I convinced the majority of my country that Rabin was not murdered by the person sitting in prison. My book reached the top of the best-selling charts in Israel and changed the way the whole country thinks about the assassination. That's how I got very well known in Israel. Then I started chasing down Rabin's real murderers, and I discovered a world, a secret world of wickedness and rot that I never knew existed, and that led to other books. The rot and wickedness most people call the movement to bring a new world order or a global government, whatever you want to call it. I discovered new corners of that movement, and those corners are the Sabbatean movements.
All right. Well, let's get in, first of
all. Is that good?
That's fine, but let's start out with the story of the murder of Rabin. And you're talking to an American audience of good and wonderful people up in the Seattle area, up in Spokane area of Washington. There are four stations listening to us up there, and then stations in Chicago and Albany, New York, and Flint, Michigan, Utica, New York, Fort Bend, Indiana. And of course, we've got our this shortwave audience and internet audience. So why don't you tell them about the murder of Rabin? Because most people think that there was some sort of fanatic who snuck up behind him and shot him, and that's why he died. What did you find as you've investigated
this? Fortunately, most people in Israel don't believe that anymore.
All right, but the people in America...
We're talking to the virgin grass, I take it. All right, here's what really happened. Yigal Amir shot two blanks into Rabin's back. Rabin was pushed to the car. His bodyguard, Yoram Rubin, shot him twice. The car took 22 minutes to take a one-minute drive because there was an eyewitness to the car by accident. Rabin arrived at the hospital. I have all the hospital reports, by the way, every single one of them. I have all the police reports. I have all the lab reports. Rabin was revived in the ER, and he had to be shot again, believe it or not, this time through the front. So our government told us Rabin was shot twice in the back from half a yard's distance. I have all the medical reports. Rabin was shot three times. He was shot twice from point-blank range, and he was shot once from the front. And not only can I prove it, I have proven it to the satisfaction of millions of Israelis. Okay, that's the Rabin murder. The shooter was Rabin's bodyguard, Yoram Rubin, who took orders from the head of what is our FBI, essentially, the Shabak, Carmi Gilon, who organized this murder with Shimon Peres. Shimon Peres murdered Yitzhak Rabin. And it goes even farther than that. He was working hand-in-hand with the French. That's the murder.
No.
I just summed up the murder. I have a book called Who Murdered Yitzhak Rabin? Go on my website, find my email address, order it, and you'll see it's all true. I have a video that shows the murder as it happened as well. If you don't believe me, I'll prove it to you.
All right. I think what's so interesting is that Rabin's spinal cord was transected by one of the bullets, and yet you see him, of course, after...
Walking.
He walks after he's been shot from behind.
Yeah.
He walks on, and he sort of looks around to see what this is about, and then he walks on, gets into the car, and then, of course, he gets a shot from the front, because the man that supposedly shot him was behind,
yeah.
And one of these shots transects
his spinal cord. They really screwed up that murder, let me tell you.
Well, these people really aren't that smart. We try to usually get a lot
but
more.
No, they're smart enough to fool the Jews, and that's what worries me. I'm going to switch a little bit from Rabin. You can come back if you'd like, but something awful, simply awful, is going on in Israel right now.
All right, let's go ahead and cover what's going on over
they're
there.
They're killing our soldiers in Gaza.
This idea of pulling.
I don't
out
mean
of
Arabs.
Right. Well, now who's?
I mean the same people who murdered Rabin are killing our people in Gaza.
Now, are they killing the soldiers there? We're trying to clear the area down in the south.
They're trying to force a withdrawal. Now, here's what happened. There was a big rally in Tel Aviv, about 100,000 people, on the night before a Likud referendum, Likud is Sharon's party. And the referendum was whether to go ahead with a withdrawal from Gaza. And just before this rally, a mother and her four children, a pregnant woman, from 2 to 11, the children are slaughtered. The murderer was never caught, but they were slaughtered. Now, the order came from our secret services, the people who are ruining our country, and the people who are working with the fiends from abroad who are determined to remove Israel from the map. Now, I'll tell you how I know a few things.
All right, and of course, whenever we see one of these atrocities, the question is, well, are we being told the truth? In other words, was this a Palestinian terrorist, or could it be that they would actually kill Israeli people?
Why not?
For the reaction, for the emotional reaction on the Israeli people?
They killed the Jews of Europe, these same people. Okay, now we will... That's Sabbatean for later, if you want.
Okay, fine.
Now we will go to the soldier who visited me last December. Only once, that's the way it happens with me a lot, let me tell you, that people find the courage only once that they come. He was 27 years in the service. He phoned me up the night before, said, I want to buy your book, Save Israel. It's out in Hebrew as well. And he said, no, I got to talk to you. I can't stand this anymore. So he came over, and we had a long talk. And boy, did he establish his credentials in a hurry. He established them extremely well. And he said, I want to tell you what happened on October 27th. October 27th, three Israeli soldiers were killed in Netzarim. It's an army base in the Gaza Strip. At 3 in the afternoon, the base commander stripped three soldiers, two women and a man, a 19-year-old boy, of their weapons. Believe it or not, the army says that they ran out of money and didn't have enough weapons to go around. If you can believe the baloney they tried to sell for this. But at 11 in the evening, approximately, two Arabs entered the base and killed these unarmed soldiers. And the next day, the government announced this plan to remove the settlers of Netzarim into the Negev. And then the whole withdrawal from Gaza plan of Sharon started. First with Ehud Olmert. All right. The soldiers have told me outright. He said there's a base with 150 soldiers. There is no possible way the terrorists would have known where the only unarmed soldiers were sleeping. He says that could only have come from our own intelligence. There's no other way. This week... Now, there was a referendum, and on that night, they tried to change the referendum by slaughtering the most grisly murder they can think of. A helpless woman with four daughters, 2 to 11, she is pregnant. The most grisly murder they could think of, wiping out a whole family. And the referendum still failed. And when that happened,
right.
I was in Toronto. And everyone I was around We're so thrilled and so happy. Democracy had triumphed. Sharon had been defeated. Gaza is safe. I told them, I said, you don't know what's going to happen now. I said, you really think we have a democracy in Israel? You don't know what they're going to do now. I said, you're going to see so many dead young people next week, it'll make your head spin. Then I took off from Toronto and went to Miami, and I was with Peter Goldman. He's a filmmaker. We're making a Rabin documentary. And he was so thrilled that the referendum failed. And I said, Peter, I predict by the end of this week at least 15 dead young Israelis. And 13 was the final tally. One day it was 7, next day it was 6, I believe. Soldiers in you know, old APCs, World War II vintage, rollover mines, I assure you, our intelligence services gave those Arabs the exact details they needed to put down the mine, where, when, the works.
All right,
I assure you. That's what happened.
Well, for our listeners, what basically happened was after they put this vote up to the Israelis, do you want to back Sharon? I guess it was to the Ludic Party. Do you want to back Sharon's effort to pull out of Gaza? And, of course, the average Jew feels that this is their land. They should not be pulling out of Gaza. So they voted against the prime
overwhelmingly.
Minister. Overwhelmingly against him. So what Barry is saying is that they are creating a situation. They're going to...
2 days ago, 100,000 people rallied in Tel Aviv to get out of Gaza. Now the public opinion is 75% less withdraw from Gaza. Damn the democracy. These people will murder our youngest and finest soldiers to get their way. Sharon has cut a deal. And by the way, it's all-encompassing. It's been reported by Yediot Ahronot. He cut a deal. He was forced. It doesn't matter whether he was forced or not. He cut a deal. With Joschka Fischer, he is the foreign minister of Germany, and, of course, with your Council on Foreign Relations in New York, the whole gang. That Gaza, the Jews get out of Gaza, that's it. And the rest of the deal is just nightmarish. Now, I've been saying, I don't know how many years I've been saying the same thing. If somebody was really interested in peace, forget the 7,000 acres that these 8,000 Jews live on. It's nothing. It's a park in an average American city. If you really were serious, you would go into the Sinai, where there is 36,000 square miles of empty land, and I do mean empty. There's about 50,000 Bedouins living in that whole area. When we had it, we made it very fertile and worthwhile. If you wanted to, you'd extend the Gaza Strip. You'd forget these Jewish settlers in Gaza. They're meaningless. You'd go and create from Gaza a legitimate state using the Sinai Peninsula. But that, of course, would require Egypt to actually want to live next door to a Palestinian state, which they do not. And anyways, the Sinai was never Egyptian historically. It was Turkish till 1906, and the Turks gave it to the British. There was chicanery there, too, but nonetheless, the British annexed it to Egypt. It has nothing to do with Egypt. The residents there are Bedouin, not Egyptian. If anyone wanted to, they could make the Gaza a legitimate state, and that's what the plan is, except there's one little fly in the ointment. Israel's got to give back the Negev, a big chunk of the Negev, to the Egyptians. Believe it or not, that's the deal that Sharon cut. Now, in order for this deal to go through, you've got to get those pesky religious Jews out of Gaza, and they are just murdering secular Israelis to turn the tide in the country to outrage. They're murdering them, and they will continue to murder them until the bulldozers come and knock down the houses of these fine Jews living in Gaza.
Well, of course, don't you think the Palestinians are being used as just pawns of this exactly?
Of course.
The Jewish settlers are being used as pawns?
Of course. We're talking about conflict.
And
we're talking about endless conflict.
And this is the way they manipulate things, and it's a terrible thing to contemplate, and yet this is exactly what they're up to, and they don't care how many Jews they kill. Yeah. And I'm talking about the people in control of Israel today, killing Jews to turn public opinion against this recent referendum so they can justify pulling out.
The saboteurs. But again, I did a little... TV interview tonight, and I just pointed out, do you really believe that the American military didn't send the most perverse soldiers into those prisons? They didn't check first. They knew who they were sending. It came right from they made a marvelous choice of the greatest sadists and perverts they could put together and put them in that prison to totally make the Arabs more nuts.
Well, of course, this is we haven't talked about this before, but
it's
I've
all
been trying
the
to
same.
Tell people
they're
that.
Building the war in the Middle East, and the Jews are going to get slaughtered again.
And the whole idea of what Barry is saying, and I agree with it totally, is this whole the tragedy of seeing all of these pictures of the humiliation of the naked Arabs.
It was
to inflame Arabs throughout the world against the United States in preparation for the coming war. Would that be a and that war?
They are building the Third World War
right.
Just fine. The same way they made the Germans nuts, they're going to make. They are making the Arabs nuts, and they want. They don't want peace. Israel is not supposed to get peace. Israel is supposed to get indefensible borders. We're supposed to disappear.
Well, I'll tell you what. I, of course, when I first went to Israel, why your border was the river. Certainly, in the river there was a very, very defensible position. It wasn't an ideal.
Well, the hills above it certainly are
right.
Pretty good. You can put lots of artillery, aim it straight into downtown Amman, and it's just fine. The same with the Golan Heights. You can put lots of artillery and make Damascus rubble the next day without sending a plane against it. These are defensible positions. You remove that, and we've got the plains. That's all. You divide Jerusalem in half, we got Beirut. Yeah, they know what they're doing. They're aiming for slaughter of Jews.
And, of course, what they've done is everybody's complaining about the wall. Oh, this is not a defensible position, but it's
oh, the
it's
wall is not to keep Arabs out. It's to keep us in.
Right.
We're talking about the Warsaw Ghetto again. They're doing the same stuff they did in Europe. They're walling us in.
And,
they're making the walls smaller and smaller, tighter and tighter. Get the Jews out of Gaza. That means Gaza will no longer be a militarily feasible. With the Jews in Gaza, we can cut the Gaza Strip in three in a matter of seconds. We can go after the tunnels. You take away those settlements, it's going to be many, many casualties to do very, very basic and essential military operations. And then you have to ask the question, how come we're not at war with Egypt? Egypt is letting its land be used to smuggle in, and we're not just talking small arms. We're talking even APCs. We're talking APCs coming in parts, tires, engines, the whole thing.
Well, I think that APC is armed personnel.
An armored personnel carrier.
Right.
In other words, Arabs and armored personnel carriers could run over those Gaza settlements in about 8 minutes.
And what we've done, if you believe that the Jews control the American government, they have forced, of course, the Israelis to give up over 95% of the land they had 10, 15 years ago.
I've heard this. We're the tail wagging the dog. Please.
Hey, hang on, Barry. We're going to have to go to a break.
Okay, you got it.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Barry Sammers, who is a Jewish patriot who's over here trying to tell the American people and the Jewish audiences he's speaking to what's really going on over there and the planned betrayal of Israel. And this is really what it's all about. And as we were saying before we went to the break, I mean, you hear this over and over again, America.